Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Toast. I am in studio at home with my friend Mary Orton. She's a four-name wonder now.
I think that we have to probably at the start here address the elephant in the room that Claudia and I are mortal enemies.
Right.
And for anyone who is just starting to learn about the saga today, it is because I had the audacity to befriend Jackie, and understandably, that is unacceptable to her. If I were your sister, I too would not allow you to have friends. But I think if we're all being honest with each other, we know that Claudia would beat the shit out of me in a street fight, right? Like, I would have no shot, so...
I don't know. I could see a scrappy Mary Orton coming through.
Well, my question is, can you digitally alter my voice and blur my face for this?
For this. It's an anonymous. This, yeah. Like, this is dangerous.
Just to preserve my anonymity.
This is dangerous work.
Yeah, yeah. And then otherwise, I was thinking we could brainstorm, like, for the title, you could do something like Mary Orton is absolutely not the co-host of this podcast. Just to, like, throw, you know, something subtle.
Throw her off. Yeah, I'll tell her, like, Mary Orton canceled. I did a solo pod. Like, it's kind of boring. You don't want to listen.
Maybe, like, a listener could story it and just be like, at girl with no job, like, don't listen today. It sucked.
Yeah.
Also, Mary Orton was not the co-host. That would be helpful, I'm thinking.
No, my friend Mary Orton is the title of today's episode because that is just your name now. I can't say it another way. And I know you have your husband's last name too.
Yes.
Scudellari.
Thankfully it's pronounced Scudellari.
Scudellari.
Because otherwise I would be Mary Scudellari. And actually, funny enough.
Then you'd be my friend Mary Scudellari.
Right. That did not occur to me until I got a DM from a follower who was like, oh, now I understand why you didn't change your handle. And I was like, what? That's such a random thing to message somebody. And then she, like, expanded upon that and said, like, because your first and last name rhyme. And I was like, no.
But your first name's Mary Orton.
My first name is Mary Orton. All one word. Last name Scudellari. Thank God.
Got it. But what do you go by mostly? Mary Orton?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, professionally, I still do.
Yeah.
And then in, like, personal life mom mode, I'm like, Mary Scudellari.
Same as me. We have so much in common, Claudia. Like, we're the same person. Well, I'm so excited that you're here because the genesis of our friendship and also, like, us discovering each other on the internet, I feel like we kind of come from different spheres of the internet. So I'm so excited for the Toasters to get to know Mary Orton, even though the Toasters who already know you are so excited that you're here.
Oh my gosh, that's
and I'm
so
excited
nice.
For the Ortonites. To listen to the Toast.
Oh,
hi,
God.
Guys.
Well, I have to say, I told you this, I, like, discovered the podcast about 18 months ago, and I wish I could remember who, like, somebody must have posted it to their stories. I don't remember who, because I would like to find them and kiss them on the mouth, because they, like, I am so obsessed with the podcast. I listen every day. I should probably play it cool, like, oh, The Toast, your podcast? Like,
oh,
I've heard
that?
Of it.
Sure.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty busy and important, so, like, I don't listen, but it's about two brothers, right? but, no, I love the podcast so much, and I, like, I'm living every Toaster's dream right now, co-hosting with you, and so I think I have hair all over me. I have to thank you. Like, you bring so much joy. This podcast is such a bright light, and I've told you that before, but I really mean it. It sounds like a throwaway comment, but I just... It's such a, like, wonderful thing to pop on every day and know that you guys are bringing, like, energy and fun and happiness. And I just love it so much. So thank you.
Thank you so much. That's what Claudia and I like to think that we do and believe that we do. But then when we get that positive reinforcement, especially from people that we know, like, it means a lot. And we're going to keep on trucking.
Oh, my gosh. Well, no. When you texted me and asked me to co-host, first of all, it was on April Fool's. So I was like, oh, that's where we are.
You have a lot of April Fool's trauma.
I have a lot of April Fool's trauma. So I immediately was like, oh, that's where we are in our friendship. We're playing mean April Fool's jokes on each other. You're going to be like, Mary, you want to co-host? And I'm going to be like, of course. And you're going to be like, ha, gotcha. I would never ask you. But then when you said it wasn't an April Fool's joke, I was like, oh, so she's either texting the wrong person or she's being held at gunpoint. Was it my mom, by the way?
No.
Doesn't matter. I'm honored to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. You are, actually, I was thinking this morning, you're the first guest co-host that we've had on in a while that's, like, a first-timer. Because everyone else that I have this week has been on the show
right.
in one way or another. Maybe not co-hosting, but as a guest or guested with Claudia. Yeah. And this is like Mary Orton first time experience.
Gosh. And is everybody else a podcaster? So I'm
Josh.
Yeah.
Shannon.
Yeah.
Lauren Elizabeth, former podcaster.
Okay.
Stassi, podcaster.
I'm the loser in the middle.
Well, it makes
sense. It's gonna be like, hi, Monday, Tuesday, and then it's gonna and then Thursday, Friday.
No, Wednesday's like always pretty good views. But it begs the question, like the influencer to podcaster pipeline is
okay.
A direct flight.
Okay.
So why have you never considered podcasting? Because also your content is very talky. Like we hear from you.
Yeah. I don't know. I think like as someone who creates content, what you guys do is so hard. I don't think that people, like civilian non-content creators, understand how lay hard people. It is. How the lay people, I don't know if they understand how hard it is to do what you do and do this every day and talk and have interesting things to say every single day. I mean, you guys have, if there's anybody watching for the first time.
An Ortonite.
An Ortonite who is not a regular Toast listener, like you must come back next week when Claudia is back and see Original Recipe Jackson Claude. Because it is amazing. Actually, because I am such a regular listener, when my daughter was born, I'm pretty sure she came out of the womb and looked at me and was like, who the hell are you? Like, where's Jackson Claude? Like, because she's heard your voice so many times in utero. So that was very disappointing for her.
Oh, yes. So you
find out who her parents were. Yeah.
You're a content creator and a mama of three. Busy
yes.
Bee.
Yes. Yes. And we are right on the heels of teething hell. I have not slept in 2 weeks.
Oh, damn. How many teeth?
She's got the bottom two.
Mm-hmm.
My kids have been slow teethers. So she's 9 months and she's just getting the top two. That's what's like ready to break through. And it has been hell for her. I mean, poor thing has been in so much pain, which is very different than my first two kids. Like my first kid was what we call a trick baby. She like never had teething issues. She slept really well. She ate really well. All the things.
So you think all babies are like that?
So yeah. So she tricked us into having more children, and we fell for it. And now we have three. And really, like all three of my kids have been so good and easy and healthy and whatever. So no major complaints. But this was the first like real challenging teething experience where we were like, are we sure there aren't more drugs we can give this child?
Yeah.
It was so bad, but I'm here.
You're here. And I'm so excited here. That you're here. And it's so crazy that you also like are 9 months postpartum.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going well. It's going well. I feel like the older two are, my oldest is 4 and then middle Liza just turned 3, and they're in a sweet spot where they're like besties and can play independently with each other. And so that's really nice.
Yeah.
We had one single week when Liza, our middle, was potty trained. We potty trained her the week before I had my third. So we had one gorgeous, immaculate week with no diapers. And then we were right back into it. So,
damn.
It's been a journey. Okay. As you well know.
How close are your first two in age?
18 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What are her
18 months?
Oh, they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah. You know the whole like two in diaper thing. It's just.
Yeah. I can't imagine like no diapers.
Yeah. But you'll like, you know, in a few months, you'll see it too, where like Harry and Charlie will be besties and they'll be like doing Legos together. You and Zach will sit back and be like, wait.
We can just supervise.
What? Yes.
We don't have to get in the pen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, that's going to be a major milestone.
Yes. That's been really very exciting for us. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you. I'm so excited that you're here. And now, can you tell me about the genesis of Mary Orton? Because we went to lunch. Yeah, yes. We lunched. Ladies who lunch. And I feel like we were talking about the beginning of your career.
Yeah.
But you're kind of like an OG.
Yeah.
I want to say influencer, but I feel like when you started, that wasn't the term. It was more like blogger, fashion blogger, girly.
Yes. Yes. I definitely started in the blogosphere. And I always say like starting a blog was the most out of character thing I've ever done. Like what I do now is like, I would have never, ever, ever imagined. I was working for an investment bank and I remember a colleague of mine talking about fashion blogs and I was like, what the hell is a fashion blog? Like, and then I'm looking them up and I'm like, who the hell are these women like putting pictures of themselves on the internet? That's so embarrassing. Actually, side note, I was telling this story to someone recently at a lunch, and there was a Gen Zer at the table. And she was like, wait, what's embarrassing? And I was like, well, like putting pictures of yourself on the internet is just like an objectively humiliating thing to do. And she was like,
what? Well, now that's de rigueur.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you're like 23 and you don't remember a time before selfies.
Yeah.
You don't remember a time when it was not normal to be like,
you just like took your pictures and put them in your photo album.
Right, right, right. And so anyway, so yeah, so I started way back in like 2013, a blog, and I was interested in kind of speaking to my demographic that I didn't feel was being spoken to, which was like young urban professional women who wanted to figure out how to infuse style into their working life. And at the time, I thought, okay, I'm fascinated by these fashion blogs. I'm fascinated by the ways in which they're disrupting the landscape of fashion and retail marketing. But I cannot put pictures of myself on the internet. And I remember telling my husband and my best friend about this, and I was like, I'll just crop my head off. I'll just do mostly writing. And then if I have to show anybody like clothes on me, I'll just crop my head off. And they were looking at me like, oh my God, this is gonna be, like they were watching a car crash.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I started, and that's what I did for the first 9 months. And somehow, perhaps because like the blogosphere was in its infancy, the blog did well, and then
no head, headless.
No, yeah, fully headless and anonymous.
I could see that being extremely cool though. Anonymous. Yes. Like, who is this? What was your blog called?
It's been Memorandum since like 2014.
It was Memorandum. Like, right. Who is she? Where is she? It's giving Gossip Girl.
Except like not at all cool. Like the sloppy crop of the point and shoot camera photos was a real tragedy. But then I had the opportunity to work with one of my favorite brands, and they were like, we'd love to work with you, but this whole like headless horseman thing is probably not going to be okay with us. And so I had to put my face in photos, and I don't think I slept for a month. I was like so mortified.
Yeah. But at least you were doing it from a place of success. Like you had it wasn't like you were really putting yourself out there to zero people yet. Like trying, right. You know, at least you had right. that platform a little bit where it's like, yeah, right. people care.
Maybe. Yeah. So that was kind of,
do you still genesis. Feel that way? Like,
yeah, I mean,
camera shy.
Yeah, I think so. Like taking photos has never felt normal. How do you feel? Are you just so used to it and you feel?
No, like when I step out and I ask my husband to take pictures of me, like it is a deeply uncomfortable experience.
Right.
And I feel like I don't do it as much right now because I don't step out so much right now. But I feel like even when I was doing, even in my heyday, like if we're going to dinner, like I want you to take a few pics of me. I'm dying inside the entire time. If we didn't get the picture, I'm moving on from it.
Right.
It'll only ruin my night, but I'm not going to spend a long time like trying to take pictures in public. Like in, you can see me cringing in the photos.
Oh, totally. And I'm sure you have the same like war stories from the years with your husband taking photos of you.
Yeah.
And I remember, I will never forget, we were in, I think, Washington Square Park in New York, and my husband was taking photos, and I realized after we had been taking photos for a couple minutes that I had a piece of hair that had like flown up and was like this, and I'm looking at the photos and I'm like, are you kidding me? And I'm like reading him the riot act in public, and I mean, I'm not like yelling at him, but I'm just like, are you kidding me?
No,
I've had this thing in front of my face. I've been standing here like an idiot, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like going off.
Like, are you even looking? At the pictures
Do
you even give a crap?
Is this, am I a joke to you?
Does my work mean nothing to you?
Right. And then I look up at his face as I like pause mid-rant, and he's going like this. And I was like, are you having a stroke? And then I look to my right, and there's a girl standing there and was like, hi, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say I follow you and like... I love what
I thought
what
you were great.
Do and now I'm feeling unsafe, so I'm gonna go now. You know, like she just like this poor thing. Her face haunts me forever because of that moment. So
no, it's such a vulnerable moment when you're asking someone to take your picture and you're putting yourself out there, and like there just needs to be this like understood social contract that like you're looking out for me.
Yes,
I'm feeling unsafe and vulnerable. Yes. And. Yes. Whatever I say in those moments, I don't mean it.
Yes. And yes, my husband is a true PJOM extraordinaire and did not leave me after that.
Yeah, after the photo-taking husbands are PJOMs. Does he now know your angle? Like, is he now a pro at it?
Oh, now he's a pro. Yeah, now he's a pro, and it's like, boom, done. And he always makes sure I don't have, like, a weird mohawk coming up from behind.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, so we've grown a lot together.
That's beautiful.
It really is.
That is really beautiful.
Really special.
Okay, so you started as a fashion blogger and now you're a major content creator. I actually found your profile from like one of your many viral reels where you were showing ladies how to properly wear a scarf around their neck. There were two videos. I think one, like, I saw your profile for the first time, I scanned it, I was like, okay, nice, but I hadn't like hit the follow yet.
And then
the second one was the turtleneck video showing us how to actually wear a turtleneck, hold it in.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I need more tips like this in my life.
Oh, so since those videos, it's been very disappointing for you.
No, no, I wouldn't say so. I definitely like tap to shop links.
Oh, wow.
Definitely influence.
Oh, okay.
No, I like what I see.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
And then I feel like I started following you in the middle of your last pregnancy, maybe. Oh. I had no idea you were pregnant. And then you posted something where it was like very, you were talking about being pregnant. And I was like, oh, I missed that. How nice. And we were like pregnant, similar timing.
Yes, we were. Yeah. I gave birth to Gigi actually July 4th. And then Charlie was born
August 14th.
Yes. Okay. I knew we were close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's been our friendship origin story.
Yes.
And then you're down in Florida a good amount. So we got together a couple weeks ago. We had lunch. Yeah. We're just simpatico.
Just simpatico until your sister kills me.
Right.
We'll fight to the death.
Yeah. Well, Turdy, if you're listening, I still love you. You know, you're my number one and no one will ever replace you. But my friend Mary Orton
never. And seriously, anybody listening for the first time, like come back on Monday when Claudia is back.
Yeah.
You'll see the real deal.
But now that's on me to convince them, you know, through this show that it's a show worth watching.
That's a lot of pressure, Jackie. But I know you can rise to the challenge. I'm taking a drink here and I'm so afraid of your listeners.
We're gonna she's yell a real at me. Toaster. She Wait, knows the okay, drama.
Claudia's so good at this. She pushes the camera.
She's pushing her mic away to take a sip of her ice. I did make us iced coffees in. So here's the thing. It's either going to be a noisy reusable glass or it's going to be a non-noisy single use cup. Pick your fighter.
Yeah. And you picked the eco-conscious fighter today.
Classic Jack's being eco-conscious, but I'm cracking up that you like know all of the ins and outs of the community drama.
No, I am very much aware of these issues, and I have never once, as a daily listener, I've never once noticed a click of a ice cube or a, so like when you guys talk about it, I'm like, who are these people giving my girls grief?
Thank you, Mary Wharton. We're talking for over an hour. We need a sip of a cold beverage.
And do you not support women in hydration?
They don't support women in hydration, which is actually an amazing segue into the Fast Five stories today. We have great stories. We also have Dear Toasters, and we're getting Mary Wharton's advice. So I have a feeling it's going to be a different brand of advice.
I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what problems we have to face today.
It's very exciting. We're going to help out our dear toasters. And let's get into it. Before we do, I have to let you know that today's episode of Women in Hydration is brought to you by Liquid IV. So as stated by Mary Orton and I, hydration is key. Liquid IV is the best because it is a hydration multiplier. A single stick of Liquid IV makes ordinary hydration extraordinary. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks. You can tear, pour, and live more. So just grab a water bottle, grab your Liquid IV stick, pour it in, and you are ready to go. I need extra hydration because I do not drink enough water in my day. And Juliana, I need a lot of water if I'm going to be looking hydrated and well. If you are hungover, a liquid IV never hurt nobody. So turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TOAST at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TOAST at liquidiv.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rails. This is an incredibly exciting sponsor today because Claudia and I just got so many cute things from Rails, but also my dress today is from Rails. And I want to pretend like I was savvy enough to choose it because Rails was going to be a sponsor, but that's not why. I actually wanted to go with like a Mary Wharton approved look. And
it's so beautiful on you.
Thank you so much. So I wound up with this gorgeous Rails dress. So you know we love luxury and Rails makes luxury essentials accessible. They're an LA-based brand that blends their California roots with an elevated European aesthetic, and the fabrics feel as good as they look. Seriously. I love all of the pieces that I've gotten from Rails. This is my first time wearing this dress, but it's so cozy. The material is just heavenly and it really flatters the female shape. Build your closet with elevated staples like luxe button-downs and statement-making sets, or get event-ready in their dreamy satin dresses such as this. Basically, if you're shopping for spring, go to rails.com right now, R-A-I-L-S.com, and take 15% off your order with the code TOAST15. Rails.com with code TOAST15, that's 15% off your order. Thank you, Rails. Today's episode is also brought to you by AG1. So we are back on AG1, and like we talked about when we discussed Huberman Gate a few weeks ago, this is a heavily researched and legitimized brand. Debunker aside, they know that taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last few years, we've been drinking AG1, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes us feel energized, focused, nourished. Again, like an easy way to get the vitamins and nutrients that you're probably skipping out on. Just get her done with AG1. That's their new slogan. Get her done with AG1. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers our daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. Their in-house team of doctors, scientists, and researchers work with third-party experts to conduct a set of scientific studies and further validate the benefits of AG1. And that is why we know we can trust this product. Their website is full of research and more information that we don't even have the time to talk about, truly. You can feel the difference, too, if you stopped drinking AG1, like, for a few days. You know, sometimes no one's perfect. But you can tell, and you get home, and you're like, I need my AG1. If there's one product that we have to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why we've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/toast. That's drinkag1.com/toast. Check it out. Okay, our first story today is a little bit, again, I feel like the leading story every day this week has been in one way or another, Taylor and Travis news. However, today these stories are coming in separately.
Okay.
Because Taylor Swift, the Museum of the Tortured Poets Department Academy, which is her new album, which drops on Friday. I don't know if you realize that. New Taylor album.
I did not realize that.
I didn't realize that until yesterday. Her Dead Poets Society album is dropping on Friday. So she is in her pre-promo era. And there's a bit of a tailored museum in LA that's presented by Spotify, where she's sharing lyrics and Easter eggs about the album. But there are also Easter eggs and hidden messages about her relationship with Joe Alwyn.
And this is in collaboration with her, so she's part of curating this.
Yes, like she gave like these, they're all like typed up on typewriters, like lyrics and motifs, I want to say. Okay. And one strong motif that I've seen is like she is talking about this statue from the 6th century that was meant to be a gift. It was like a statue of like fertility and womanhood. And it never was gifted and it kind of like decayed and rotted and decomposed.
Okay.
And like it's giving, you know, that was me in my relationship.
Ah, a metaphor, if you will.
It's giving metaphor. And I think what maybe she's saying is like, she was with Joe Alwyn for 6 years, like no marriage, no kids. Like I'm just like a woman decomposing over here.
Okay.
I actually had a dream last night that Taylor Swift had twins and she named them Olivia and Doreen.
And Doreen.
Doreen.
Is there a Doreen in Taylor Swift folklore?
Doreen came from nowhere. Olivia is at least like the name of her cat, Olivia Benson. Olivia's just a gorgeous name.
It's a gorgeous name.
But then there was baby Doreen.
Yeah. I would have gone Olivia and Jackie, Claudia, Margo.
No, just, that's...
Those are some names off the top of my head that I would have chosen.
Usually I don't
share with Olivia.
Usually I don't share my dreams. I'm not a dream sharer. Like, can you find a more uninteresting topic? No, but
no, I like it.
It's germane to this story.
It is.
She had two baby twin girls with Travis.
Okay.
And we even got names, Olivia and Doreen.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine them having children? I mean, yes. So I am not a Taylor. I'm not a Swiftie, but I, and like you and I have talked about this. I don't know when everybody hauled off and like listened to every deep track.
Yeah. I said it was probably when you were having kids. I feel like everyone was like passive fans up until the re-recordings. That's how I see it. I feel like after Reputation and then like Lover, then like all these with the new albums, there were so many Easter eggs and then we got vault tracks and people just like threw themselves down the rabbit hole. But I feel the same way where it's like, oh, I've been a Taylor Swift fan for 15 years. I love all of her music. I actually know the words to all of her songs, but I missed that. I didn't get on that ride.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's where Claudia like will call me a hater for that. And I'm like, I literally couldn't be more of a fan.
Yeah. No, I have so much respect for Taylor and her fandom. And it's just like such a phenomenon to me. Yeah. I like want to study it. But I think the Easter egg thing seems to me to be such like a dangerous thing, because wouldn't that be exhausting to keep up?
Oh, it seems exhausting for her to like plant these things for people to keep up. And then I would also be a little worried that people might misinterpret the eggs, because it's not like a direct. So what if people like got it wrong and everyone's like, Taylor said this, and it's like, no, that's not what I was saying. Yes. Like about the statue even.
Yes. Yes. So that seems to me to be really just a lot to take on in perpetuity, that you're always supposed to have like so many hidden meanings.
Yeah. And
like,
I think
what if you want to just like walk into a room and say good morning?
Right. No, it's coded.
And then people are like counting. And that I have to say is like, I have seen that on the interwebs of just people being like, okay, she walked in and said good morning. There are 17 letters in that phrase, and 17 minus 4 is 13. Yeah, like
it's giving QAnon.
It's giving QAnon.
You know what it reminds me of? Did you ever read or watch the movie The Series of Unfortunate Events?
I know it. I haven't seen it.
If you didn't read the books. Okay, yeah. So there's like three kids. They're all very gifted, and they're like orphaned and they're going through turmoil and the oldest daughter like decodes stuff and like she'll see a letter and she's like a written letter and she like pulls out like all the capitalizations and it's an anagram for like the secret. That's what Taylor Swift is doing. I'm sure she read those books too. Count Olaf. It's giving Count Olaf.
And by the way, like quick side note, I know this has been discussed widely. Why must every children's show begin with like a dead mom or just fully orphaned children? Why?
It's a great question.
Why are they always trying to kill us,
Jackie? I don't know. I feel like people are aware of it.
Especially Disney.
Especially Disney.
Always kill the mom.
People are aware of it, but they don't like question it.
Okay.
And I feel like it's shows that are at a certain age. Like right now, like toddler shows, no. But like we are just... watching The Lion King, and the mom is irrelevant in The Lion King, so that's a different problem.
Yeah, that's, and it's one of the rare dead dad stories. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. Sorry.
I just, I feel and attacked.
And even like the newer ones are doing that, like Frozen, of course, the ship. Moana? No, but she still has to go out. It's as if like the kids can't
Grandma dies right away.
Right, but it's as if like the kids can't go on their like growth journey while under the foot of their parents. But it's like maybe we're not supposed to be going on our journey at 12 years old.
Yeah. Has Harry, Harry is how old?
2.
So he has not asked you about death yet.
No.
Okay.
When did your kids?
I think Coco... she's 4 and she still doesn't like totally know what it means. She doesn't understand the finality of it.
Yeah.
So I shared this on my Instagram a couple weeks ago, but I was making her a grilled cheese for lunch and it was like a special treat and she was really excited. And she said to me, "Mommy, I have not had grilled cheese in like 10 years. And I said, wow, that's a really long time. That's, you know, that's longer than you've been alive, sweetie. And she turned green and said, was I dead?
It's a good question.
And I, you know, like any good parent, just immediately distracted, immediately segued into something else so that I could avoid that difficult conversation with my child.
Yeah. Because also I'm sure now, like the movies that they're watching, there's, is that what you're saying? Like you're watching those things where there's the death. Because even when we were watching Lion King, I skipped over that part because one, like not appropriate. And two, we were just there for Hakuna Matata. So 100%. I just like fast forwarded two, but it's definitely something that I've noticed and I'm like, oh, we're not there yet.
Yeah. So she knows it's something dramatic, but I don't think she understands the finality of it. So it's really, it's been a fascinating time since she locked onto that. And it's also something that I think in like, you know, around Easter time when there's discussion about, you know, Jesus dying on the cross, right, that whole thing, they become really fixated on it because they're hearing about it in school, whatnot. So it's been a wild ride in my house.
Yeah. That's death talk. I feel like that's one of a couple of hard conversations as a parent.
Yeah, yeah. So I am looking into military boarding school.
But I don't even remember when I learned about it or how I learned about
either.
It. You just kind of ease into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
That is.
That we signed up for.
It is a lot. Well, that's actually a great segue into part B of our first story, which was Taylor and Travis news. And that's that Travis will be hosting Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? It is confirmed. We had talked about it a few weeks ago. He was in talks, but Amazon's Prime Video is doing a spinoff game show called Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity? So it will have adult contestants answering sixth grade level questions with the help of some famous faces. They've ordered 20 episodes of the show hosted by Travis.
Okay. This is exciting. I think he'll be so good at this, right?
I think so too. And it's like, are you smarter than a sixth grader, Travis?
And well, that's kind of the interesting thing because not whether or not he's smarter than a sixth grader, but if you are like a celebrity who might need to go on those shows for like press and whatever, being the host is kind of great because you're never in the hot seat, right?
Yeah. So well, let's see.
Of like, get out of jail free card draft.
It sounds like it would be a fun concept. It will depend what celebrities they have on, but I feel like he's really affable and he likes to have a good time. But hosting, I feel like they think anyone can host. Claudia and I always say this.
Yes.
And it's like, it's not just something anyone can do. Like it is a skill.
Yes.
And he has a podcast, so he might actually be skilled and ready for this and not a bad choice by any means, but just because you're a celebrity or an actor or a singer, like, doesn't mean that you're a host.
Yes.
And, like, justice for the hosts.
Yes.
Who, that's their trade.
Yes. For the communications majors out there. Justice for them.
Yeah. They're just being erased.
Or like, broadcast journalists. Yeah. I especially agree with you when you talk about this with regards to, like, interviews on red carpets.
Right.
Like, the questions are so bad.
Yeah.
It's never interesting. So nobody really watches those shows anymore.
Yeah, but
really.
Like there are people, they go to school for that.
Yeah.
Let's hire them.
Let's do those ones.
Yeah.
Not the celebrity who has nothing to say. Right. Not that I would be good at that either, but let's find the expert. Let's find the trained professional. And this also makes me think, when was the last time this show was airing? Because it started out, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Yes,
right?
It was on Fox. And I don't know when it ended. Okay. 2007 is when it started.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
This does make me sort of nostalgic for like when I was, I don't know, I guess in high school maybe, when it was like the height of those, of like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
And I kind of miss those days where everybody watched something.
Now there are so many game shows and so many streamers and everyone has their own thing, but there's not like the big one.
Right. Well, I was having this conversation with a friend who works for one of the big streamers and I was watching, I'm forgetting what show it was, but it was one where they had the audacity to be dropping it on a weekly basis. And I was saying to her,
Love is Blind?
No, I haven't seen that. Like, don't kill me. I haven't seen that one.
It's okay. You came at a good time because now discussion has ended.
Yeah. Okay. But I was saying, like, how dare you not drop everything at once so that I can binge it?
Right.
And she was talking to me about how it you know, the full season drop is so difficult from a PR perspective, because when everybody is watching on a weekly basis, then in the press, they have a better cadence for like knowing when it's appropriate to talk about each episode.
Yeah.
And so when it's dropped all at once, people are kind of like, well, what part of it do I talk about? And I just miss those days when you would like go to school after everybody had watched last night's episode.
Yeah.
Where like they missed the $1 million question or whatever, you know, those kinds of, you know, bringing people together.
I agree. Shows. And I understand from a PR perspective, yeah. and they want to drag it out and get everyone yeah. excited. But it's like, okay, so when you started the binge watching
right.
and you made us addicts,
yes.
where was your PR concerns then?
Right.
You know?
You did this.
That's the issue. It's like, we were always getting episodes weekly and we weren't complaining, we need more now.
Right.
And it was actually
right.
kind of crazy when they put all seasons at once and it started this yes. like behavior of people like staying in all weekend to watch a show, which yeah. is, when you think about it, so unhealthy, but so normalized right now. But like, that wasn't what life was like when we were growing right. up, that you would just sit in your house and stare at your TV set right. for 48 right. hours and then go back to school.
Right. Yeah. The streamers gave us.
They made us addicts. And now we have withdrawal.
Yeah. Withdrawal. Yes. Yeah.
But I think that's what they wanted. They like yeah. want us to be addicted. I'm breaking free from the cycle.
It's very upsetting. It's all very upsetting.
Yeah. Well, this is exciting news, not upsetting yeah. news.
And I think you'll be good at it.
Agree.
Do you think Taylor will be a guest?
I don't think so. But honestly, I feel like every time I call something about these two, like, oh no, they wouldn't. Like they do.
I couldn't agree more.
You know
like
what I mean?
At the outset, I was so on board with, I think it was Claudia who was like, I promise you these two people have never met. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And then we were.
It's like there's no way she would go down to the field. It's no way he would go to her show. Yes. There's no way, like Coachella, if you told me they were going to Coachella, they were going to be in the pit and they were going to go to Neon yeah. Carnival and listen yeah. to James Kennedy DJ, yeah. I would have said like, no way.
Never.
So, and now when I see this, I'm like, oh, there's no way she would like infringe on like his gig. Mm. But I don't think he sees relationships in the world like that. I think he's yeah. like, come on, baby, it's fun. Not like yeah. you're stepping on my toes and making me feel emasculated.
Yes. That he certainly seems to be so supportive and so
confident
and secure
yeah.
and like we both have our things and like genuinely excited for her.
Yeah.
Which must be so exciting.
Yeah. You know,
for her.
Yes. I totally agree. So I'll check it out. I'm happy for him.
Yeah. On Amazon Prime, you said?
On Amazon Prime. All right. Our next story is a bit of sports news. You know, we love sports, but, Caitlin Clark, who is the women's basketball player who's been breaking records, setting records, making headlines, yes. has just been drafted to the WNBA, and her salary has people in a tizzy.
Oh.
Yes. So she was the first draft for the WNBA, and she will be making, I need to pull up the, here.
And she's going where?
She's going to the, hold on, Indiana.
The Indiana
Fever. I love the Indiana Fever.
Caitlin Clark
is going to the Indiana Fever. Now,
a fever.
The conversation is about her salary because she is making in 5 years roughly like right under $400,000. So when you break it out year by year, it's like $79,000, $80,000 per year okay. to be the number one, the best in the WNBA. Yikes. And then you compare it to the men's basketball and the first pick for men's, Victor Wembanyama, got a $55 million contract.
Ooh.
And so people are upset about that. Which is upsetting when you think about it. But the problem is I feel like everyone who's upset about it, like seriously wouldn't be caught dead watching the WNBA. So like you're part of the problem.
Right. I think that's spot on. I mean, it is a business.
Right. Like they make so much money at the end. Right. Like you can't even compare. And so to right. be upset, I saw like Hoda was talking about it on her show and she was upset that 55 million compared to like 400,000, which is insane. And like, she's saying it's like a gender pay gap. Mm. And of course it's gendered because people yeah. want to watch the men play and not the women for whatever reason. I don't right. watch either. So this isn't, I don't contribute to this issue. I'm proud right. to say.
Right.
But it's a business.
Right. Yeah. I see both sides of the argument and I also feel like, you know, the suggestion with regard to the complaints about it, the suggestion is that the WNBA is making the same amount of, bringing in the same amount of revenue as the NBA and is just like sitting on all the cash and only giving Caitlin $5.
Right. Which is not what it is.
But, sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, the issue is a smaller issue of the bigger issue, which is just the WNBA versus the NBA. And, like,
yes.
Why is one organization, like, so massive and the other is not? Yeah. But that just comes down to, like, people being interested in something. You, like, right. can't make fetch happen. I feel that way a little bit about what they're doing here with soccer. And that's men. So yes. I'll go ahead and say it. Like, I don't know, how much money can you spend? Can you get people to care about something?
Yeah.
In the way that they care about sports. Like, you can't market for that. Like, that's right, just an organic thing.
Right. Well, maybe Caitlin will succeed in changing that and bringing more eyeballs and more revenue to the WNBA. Because, I mean, people have just been so captivated by her.
Yeah.
And she's so talented.
Yeah.
Maybe and she'll bring in more viewers.
She'll definitely get endorsement deals and she'll make plenty of money.
Yes.
But it just, like, speaks to this bigger issue of the WNBA versus the NBA, which is a big issue before Caitlin Clark came on the scene.
Yeah, yeah. I had an uncle who is now passed who loved watching the WNBA because he was an avid, like, basketball player himself. Mm-hmm. And watching the women was more like the way that women, you know, in the NBA, women's basketball players play is more akin to, like, a normal person playing versus in the NBA, the men are doing so many, like, tricks and superhuman type things. So maybe Caitlin will just bring a lot of people and, you know, solve the problem.
Yeah, that would be great. But, like, I'm sorry, you guys have to watch. Like, everyone who's angry about it, like, are you watching the WNBA?
Yeah.
Otherwise, what is there to say? But I'm sure you caught the NBA finals and you can name, like, 10 NBA players.
Yeah.
So, again, I don't watch either. Not my problem. Same. I'm not a part of the problem. So
I am neither the problem just nor, like, the solution.
An objective. And, of course, like, it's messed up. Like, this girl's at the peak of talent.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's in the wrong industry then if she was here to make millions.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I can't remember if Claudia and I had this exact conversation, but there are jobs, not necessarily sports. The only sport I can think of where women's is a lot better than men's is gymnastics.
Ugh.
And also, I was thinking of volleyball. Is there men's volleyball?
Yes, there is.
See?
For sure.
But it's all about the women.
Yes.
But I also feel that way. Like, there are industries and jobs where, like, women make so much more than their male counterparts. Like, modeling.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got our things.
We've got our things, too. So I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, stream WNBA or else, like...
Or else.
Keep it shut. Like... It is what it is. But I'm happy for her. I'm happy. I hope she does great things. I hope people do stream WNBA and one day she gets a $55 million contract. I'm going to manifest it for her.
Agreed. I will join you.
Our next story. Rebecca Minkoff has been shooting for The Real Housewives of New York City. So do you watch any Real Housewives of New York City? I don't watch the new, so I'm with you.
So I watch no reality TV, which is obviously a character flaw. I don't know how to get into it now.
Yeah.
Because I'm so far gone. Like, what, like, which franchise do I choose? Do I just start at season one and I just have to, like, catch up on 22 seasons of each franchise? But this is the reboot, right?
Yes. So if you were to start something, actually starting Roni reboot, you could watch last season and this is the new one. The issue is that that's not the greatest.
Okay.
Because the original seasons, like, that's where legends were made.
Yes.
Now they're trying to recreate the magic. I don't think anybody who watched Roni reboot first season is like, this is the best thing ever. Yeah. I think it had its moments and people, like, resonated with some of the cast members, but it's not the magic of Ramona and Luann and Sonia.
Okay. I have to say that everything I know about reality TV, I know from this show.
Okay.
And
so we'll be aligned.
And yeah, so we'll be aligned, but also the way that I have, like, internalized your and Claudia's opinions on reality stars that I've never watched. I was at the grocery store, like, at the height of the Sandoval stuff, and there was a tabloid with Tom Sandoval's face. It's like, Tom Sandoval, blah, blah, blah. And I'm standing there with my husband, and we were, like, getting donuts or something with the girls on a weekend day. And I was like, oh, Tom Sandoval. I hate that guy. And Rich was like, who is that and why do you hate him? And I was like, no idea.
That's
just Jackson Claude
told you
him, and them's the rules.
Them's the rules. Well, on that one, that wasn't even a hot take of ours.
I know. Now that was that, like the universe.
Now our
the
hot universe take
raining
is
raining on that guy. Yeah.
The take that's warm now is give Sandoval grace.
Okay. Okay.
Which, sorry, let me give an asterisk. Give Sandoval grace if he is going to continue to be on the reality show that yes. we are watching with people who will not speak to him. It's not good for the sake of the yes. reality show. Therefore, we should give him some grace so we can move forward. That's, yes. that's the take now.
Yes. And I, that I'm sure that's a very good take. And just like the take that to, you know, maybe stop like dehumanizing him and,
right.
Like, publicly like flogging him is probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, so for this reboot, how did the first season do?
I think
because wasn't there a discussion about whether it was going to continue? Or,
yeah,
or?
I think it was decent. Okay. It wasn't amazing, but definitely not like terrible and abysmal that they are going to pull the plug.
Okay.
Jenna Lyons was on the first season and she's not coming back for the second season.
Okay, she's officially not coming back.
Yes. Okay. So Rebecca Minkoff is now rumored to be filming for the show as well. Unclear if she'll be the full cast member, friend of... But I wouldn't be surprised if she's full and okay. this is, they're getting, you know, another fashion heavyweight to replace yeah. the other one, because I think people were really excited about Jenna Lyons when the first season premiered of New Roni. That mm-hmm. was the only recognizable name.
Yep.
And I think they want that clout still. So mm-hmm. this is a really great substitution.
Yes.
And
yes.
she, I don't know what her personality wise, but definitely we like to watch interesting women. And yeah. I think she has the makings of very interesting
yeah,
women.
She's very, very talented. And I've met her a couple times and she's very Humblebrag. Nice. Humble. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She met Rebecca Minkoff Turdy.
But she's very nice. And kind, and like, I would put her in the same bucket as Jenna Lyons, is kind of serious. And, this seems sort of like out of the typical of what one might expect her yeah. to do. So that makes it exciting and interesting. And she will lend that, yeah, that fashion. And I feel like for a New York based Real Housewives, you've got to have like a fashion player in there, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And for the interest of people, like she could bring in new yeah. viewers and they could always use more viewers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think having like that name will be very exciting for people. It even happens on Beverly Hills sometimes, like when they cast Denise Richards and it was like, oh my God, we know her.
Right.
And it, even sometimes the most recognizable housewife isn't the best housewife. In fact, usually it's not, because they have a lot to lose.
Yes.
But it definitely throws an interesting factor into the mix.
Yeah.
So I'm here for it.
Me too.
Are you ready for our next story, which is a bit of legal news that we had discussed over the years that now... the wheels of justice have churned out, and this is what we got. So if you remember, two Ana de Armas fans were suing Universal Studios for false advertising because they went to rent the movie yesterday on Amazon Prime, and Ana de Armas was in the trailer, and they watched the whole movie only to find out that she had been cut. And they said that was false advertising, and so they sued. So the two men who rented yesterday on Amazon Prime only to discover that Ana de Armas was not in the final cut of the film have settled their false advertising lawsuit. They sued Universal in 2022, alleging that they were each cheated out of $3.99. A federal judge initially sided with them, finding that movie trailers are not immune from false advertising claims, but various setbacks followed, leaving the men on the hook for $126,000 in Universal legal fees. On Friday, they accepted a settlement that will resolve the case. The terms were not disclosed, and neither side responded to a request for comment. However, from the evidence of the court filings, nobody was happy with the outcome. Universal believes it was forced to spend 2 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars defending a patently frivolous lawsuit. Meanwhile, the plaintiff's class action lawyers, who initially believed the claim was worth millions, ended up believing that California's courts are rigged in favor of the Hollywood studios.
And to be clear, you said $3.99. They were robbed of $3.99. That's $3.99, which was the purchase price of the film.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
I mean, it is like, sets an interesting precedent. I feel like so often you watch a movie trailer and there's like a funny line in it, and then you watch the movie and the line is actually not in it. Now, I don't feel like yes. so offended that I need to sue, but... maybe we should be keeping our trailers honest. Universal took,
totally.
They took the position that movie trailers are works of art and therefore they should be protected by the First Amendment. They warned that if they were merely treated as advertising, viewers could sue every time they thought a movie didn't live up to the trailer.
Yes. So true.
Facts. Facts.
in my opinion, it is totally wild that they included her in the trailer and she's not in the film. Like, yeah. That's objectively wild, right?
Yeah, but I think it...
But do we sue over that?
No, we don't. We don't sue.
My God.
I think that it was before she was a big actress, so she filmed some stuff. And then when they made the trailer for Prime, she was a bigger actress, so they put her in it. I don't even... And, like, when you search, like, if I want to go watch all Ana de Armas movies, you search her, and then she come up in Yesterday, because technically she's in the movie, and she probably got paid for it, but she didn't make the final cut, but she's a part of the movie.
Okay.
I see both sides.
I totally see both sides, because I think it's a very annoying thing to do, and yet it is such a frivolous lawsuit, right?
Yeah. Also, the movie is bad, so they should have been sued for that. For the waste of time.
And to you, and that, like, to Universal's point, if, you know, you're allowed to sue every time
it's false advertising. It looked good, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it looked good, but it was trash. That establishes some dangerous precedent.
Yeah. Very Yikes. Interesting.
And also, like, I wonder how, like, Anna feels.
Yeah.
She probably is pissed that they include her in the trailer.
Where is Ana de Armas?
I don't know. Has she done anything since the Marilyn Monroe?
I don't know. I feel like she was everywhere. And then all of a sudden, remember when she was dating Ben Affleck? I really would have bet money on them and been wrong. Huh. Nothing since Blonde.
Okay. She's taken time off.
She deserves it.
Yeah. After that big trailer gig and then the
After trailer gate.
Gig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's probably like, I want to lay low for a second.
Yeah. These people are like smearing my good name.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. It's crazy on all sides.
Yeah. Well.
So I'm glad they settled.
Speaking of content that is living up to the hype, today's episode is brought to you by Mary and George, our new favorite show on Starz. Mary and George is a Starz original inspired by the story of Mary Villiers, who molded her beautiful and charismatic son George to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Through outrageous scheming, the pair rose from humble beginnings to become the richest, most titled, and influential players the English court had ever seen. Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galzatine are starring in the show. Critics are obsessed, calling it sexy, witty, and darkly rewarding. Watch Mary and George only on Starz and the Starz app. Turdy and I are truly obsessed with period pieces, and Mary and George is no exception. Mary is played by Julianne Moore. Who pretty much has nothing to her name, but she's desperate to elevate her social standing. Relatable queen, literally. Watch now on Starz and the Starz app. I am so excited. This show is so good. I love a period piece, a well-done one, and I love a story that I didn't previously know. Thank you to Starz and Mary and George.
I'm dying to see that.
Yeah. Today's episode is also brought to you by Prolon. These days, a lot of people are learning all about the benefits of fasting, like weight loss, mental and physical performance, and gut health, but worry about the whole not eating part. Well, that's exactly why Prolon was created. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. It's been researched and developed for decades at USC's Longevity Institute and backed by leading US medical centers. Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet, it is a science. It is science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. All this starts with Prolon's 5-day program. Snacks, soups, beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. So right now, Prolon is offering the Toast listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/toast. That's prolonlife.com/toast for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/toast. Check it out. Thank you to Prolon. Our fifth and final story.
Is it a sports story?
It is.
Since this is my favorite sports podcast.
It is not a sports story, even though this should be a boxing match between Kelly Clarkson and her ex, Brandon Blackstock.
Ooh, yeah.
Yikes. So more lawsuits between Kelly and her former mans. He hit back at her in a new lawsuit after the $2.6 million ruling that we shared a few weeks ago. On Monday, he responded to her latest lawsuit in which she claimed he should pay her more than $2.6 million that the California Labor Commissioner ruled that he owed her for illegally acting like an unlicensed talent agent since 2007 when she entered into an oral agreement with his family's company. Per the documents obtained by Page Six, he denied each and every allegation made by Kelly and argued the filing should be dismissed because the Labor Commissioner's ruling was made in November 2023. Since Kelly failed to file a notice of appeal within 10 days from when the decision was made, I'm choked up because he's coming for my girl, ma'am.
Yeah, from America's sweetheart.
From when the decision was made in order to request more than the $2.6 million that was ruled upon, he and his attorneys claim it is outside the proper jurisdiction to file a separate lawsuit now, according to the docs. Jeez, this man. Take the L, bro. Take the L. And it's like, I feel like sometimes maybe somebody's name is spirit and they don't deserve it and they're going to fight tooth and nail to clear it up. But this is Kelly. Like, I just don't see a world in which she is the villain of this story and how you could ever change people's minds about that.
Yeah. No, you're never going to do it. It's impossible. She's Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
She is beloved.
Beloved. Eternally and beloved. It's so funny that her power, and she's so powerful, it comes from love. Like, it doesn't come from, like, fear or, like, she's just this big almighty person. It's like she's wormed her way into our hearts.
Yeah.
And you can't fight that.
Right. So she's trying to file this now and he's responding.
Yeah, saying that like this is a garbage suit because she said he owes $2.6 million because he was like acting as her agent. Like, yikes.
Yikes. She wants to sort of claw back the commissions that were earned under false pretenses.
Yeah.
Yikes. That is, I mean, knowing nothing about the specifics of this case, I also am just like, oh, but wouldn't you want to be done on both sides? Like, but I don't just want to be.
I agree with that, but I feel like from what I've seen, he's not letting stuff go too. Like, he's trying to get houses and this and that. So she's just like, well, you want to go there? I'm going here. He tried to get their prenup thrown out.
Oh, that would have been nice for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, this man
needs to stop. Can't blame a guy for trying.
Right. I feel like for him, he needs to let it go. Like, he needs to.
What does he do? Do we know what he does?
So I think that he was like working as a talent agent. His dad is a big agent, I think. He was like Reba's husband, actually. An agent?
Okay.
I don't know. He's in the industry. Actually, the husband, Brandon, was Blake Shelton's agent for a time. But then when things went south with him and Kelly, Blake Shelton dropped him.
Got it. And so was he acting as like a fake agent for all of these people? Because that's the basis of this lawsuit, right?
I don't know
if he was not in fact a licensed agent.
Great question. I don't know if he was fake for them or just like he was him and Kelly never had a contract. So he was just like being the husband, like, oh, I'll negotiate this for you, babe.
Okay.
It's like, oh, well, no.
Oh, yikes.
Messy. That's
so messy. And and does she have she has a new album coming out or just?
Her album came out in the spring, so almost a year ago. Okay. But
good. I'm just a year behind.
You're That's just great. 1 year behind, but you're never too late because her music is timeless and eternal.
True.
And even the older albums to me like are her greatest works, like Piece by Piece album. I mean, we could go all the way back, you know, All I Ever Wanted. It's just it all ages like a fine wine.
Yeah. But how can she sing since you've been gone if you won't go the fuck away?
If you won't be gone.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
So just him again. What can you do? Classic Brandon Blackstock.
Classic. Poor Kelly.
I know.
Justice for Kelly.
It's like, and she has just so much great things going on for her, and you just feel this is just like an anchor, like tethered to her ankle, like bringing her down.
But that's what brings me back to the idea that, like, from her perspective,
just let him have 2.6 mil.
Yeah, but he's already taken so much, Jackie. Here I am knowing nothing about the specifics, and I'm just immediately on board with Kelly and feel that she's been.
Maligned,
yeah.
I agree.
Okay.
I stand with Kelly. To no surprise to no one.
Yeah. Ugh.
Are you ready for Dear Toasters? Mary Orton, it's your time.
Jackie, I'm so excited for Dear Toasters. And as someone who was born in the late 1900s, I do feel like I've seen some shit, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen some shit, and I have some advice to give.
I agree. I'm excited to hear your advice. So Dear Toasters is our weekly advice segment. You can submit to deartoasters@gmail.com. You can submit on our website if you want it to be more anonymous, and we will give you advice as best as we can.
Can I ask you, have you ever, this is one of my favorite segments that you guys do, and have you ever had, I love it when you give advice and then you say, play this episode for your boyfriend and let him listen to what we have to say. And so I'm wondering, have you ever heard from the other party?
No, because if we had, okay. we would update you everyone. Would have updated. Like okay. anytime okay. there's any sort of update, okay. we share it. So okay. I just like to think when there's no update, it's like you took our advice. It yeah. worked swimmingly. No news is good news. Yeah. And you're off enjoying this beautiful life.
Okay. Okay. I was hoping maybe you've gotten like an angry DM from
a spouse. Oh, you know what?
Disgruntled boyfriend being like,
No.
Well, here's what she left out.
We got a message maybe from our website. Oh my gosh, I would need to go find it. It was absurd.
Oh no.
It was like he was clearly so like crazy.
Okay.
He didn't like our advice.
Okay. This is what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm going to find it after the show for you. And you guys aren't missing out on anything, but it was just from a nut. And okay. I hope that our advice to her was to leave him because the email was seriously unhinged.
Oy.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Okay, first up to your toasters. Hi, Jackson, Turdy Lou, crust out Mary Orton. Longtime listener, first time writer. Here's the gist. When I met my husband and I had these huge fake boobs, we fell in love and decided we wanted to have kids. So I ended up getting a second boob job to drastically decrease the size, since I knew that during pregnancy and breastfeeding, your boobs get even bigger. Fast forward to a couple kids later, I decided I want a mommy makeover. I had a tummy tuck, a lift, and new implants. I went back to big implants because I thought that's what I wanted. It was a long recovery, and afterwards, my husband said I should be done. We have kids now, and it's nerve-wracking for him the thought of something going wrong while under the knife. I agreed at the time, but now it's 2 years since, and I hate my boobs. They are so big and cartoonish, and I'm just not the 21-year-old girl with big boobs that I used to be. I'm scared to bring this up to him. I made my bed, so should I just lay in it? It's not causing any physical pain, but with my style changing, I just feel like big boobs don't go with my aesthetic I'm trying to achieve. Any advice? Love ya. Bye. Wow, this is layered. I have so many different thoughts.
I have so many thoughts. So she's had it already done three times.
Three times.
Damn. Is that normal to have like them made smaller in anticipation of having children?
Yes, I think, well,
Do a lot of people do that?
I don't think a lot of people do that. I've heard of people like, making them smaller, like after children and then wishing that they waited because they wind up having more kids and then your boobs get bigger again.
Okay.
But to go big and then small and then kids and then big, that's a lot of surgeries. And I feel like I'm looking forward to the day where I get my one, but I'm also a little bit like nervous about it, but you just like casually, what if I just got a boob job today you know, make me think differently about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think in general, your body, if you like for your life and if you want smaller boobs, like you should get them. And I understand completely where your husband's coming from. Like it is nerve wracking and surgeries are a big deal, but you can't like live the rest of your life feeling uncomfortable and just not happy because of that. And you've been through it three times already. But what I want to say, and this isn't helpful to you since you're already in this position, but like, just like to other people is like, these are really big changes to be making on a whim.
Yes.
I feel as though you should want it for years before you do it.
That's what I was just going to say. I was going to say, I think you have to ask yourself two questions. Number one, and like, be honest with yourself. Is there any part of you that thinks you're always just wanting what you don't have?
Mm.
Because not to be a male apologist here, but I do understand his concern that this is major surgery, yeah. right? So you don't want to keep doing this. So I would ask like, okay, are you sure it's what you want or are you perhaps just thinking I want what I don't have?
Yeah. And if you want that now and maybe in 5 years, you'll yes. want them big again. Like maybe you should just go medium.
And then the second question that I would ask is if the most recent time you did it was just 2 years ago, how long have you wanted the change? And just make sure it's been like many months.
Many years. I'm sorry.
I would say many years.
I would sit on the cosmetic decision for years. It's something that has to bother me for years. I have to be so sure about it. Not just like, I know trends change and you might want something now. And I feel like when people do stuff when they're younger, that's always what they say. Like, I just wish I waited.
Yeah.
So my advice to everyone is like to wait on these things. My advice to you, I also would say to wait because you might change your mind again.
Yeah.
But I understand like why you want to go small, but now I'm worried that you won't want to stay small. Now I'm worried about that.
That's what I'm worried about. So just give yourself some time to make sure that it's absolutely what you want so that it can be the like last time that you do it.
And you live with these big boobs for so long that you absolutely hate them. And then by the time you change them, you would never go back.
Do you know how, cause like, I would say like, so that you make sure that it's the last time that you do it. But do you still have to have them redone every 10 years or whatever?
Yeah, they say like every 10 years, but I wonder if that's like without an implant. Like if you don't have an implant and it's just like you're taking your implant, or maybe you're getting a smaller one. I think if it's, if there's anything in there, you have to do
every decade or something. Okay. Yeah.
So you could wait for the 10 year.
Okay.
And then go small.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good option if you have to do it anyway. I have never had any plastic surgery of any kind. But funny story, I got an email from someone, this is now many years ago, and she lives in South Carolina, and she said, hey, I don't know if you know this, but there is a plastic surgery practice here who's using your images on their website. And the images.
Is there a higher compliment?
No. It was specifically for their breast reduction page. That's where they felt my images were needed.
So they said that.
So they first of all, how dare you? Second of all, I immediately emailed them and was like, yeah, so go ahead and remove those images.
Wait, so what were they saying that you were a client?
No, so they weren't using my name. They needed like a background image for like the top of the landing page of like a smiling woman.
You are kind of like textbook smiling woman.
Well, so they found, I'm assuming they just like Googled, smiling woman, and I popped up, and they just.
Even though you were headless for so long.
Even though I was headless for so long. So that was.
You've never done like any modeling where you like have like, you're not part of like a stock image database?
Absolutely not. But this has happened to me twice. So once with this plastic surgery practice was using my images that they had just like ripped from my website. And then the second time that this happened was there was this big building development in Midtown Manhattan, and they needed, on like the billboards that they put to cover the sort of ground level of all the construction. Mm-hmm. And they have renderings on those billboards of like what the building will look like. And they've got like fake people walking through lobbies and whatever. And they took a picture of me and walking down the street, and they cut out my figure and put it like bigger than life size, Jackie. Okay. So this is,
you were kind of the face of the building.
No, this was like, so there's like an 8-foot version of me walking in Midtown Manhattan. So like for the 2 years that it was up there, and I was, trying to get it taken down, but then I was just like, oh, whatever. I would constantly have friends who would be like, selfieing in front of the Mary Orton on Fifth Avenue. Yeah.
So hysterical.
And humiliating.
No,
really.
Not. Yeah. I feel like if you look at Mary Orton's content, like, yeah, if I was building a building and I wanted like a glamorous woman to be the face of it, like that's your like vibe. Yeah. That's what you exude.
It was like me in a like a gray pantsuit or something walking. It was just very, it was giving stock image.
It's giving smiling woman. Like smiling, like everyone wants you to sell their products. No. Do you have a picture of it?
This was like 2014. So it would probably take me a minute.
Maybe a different phone.
To dig it up. Yeah. Oh, definitely. This is like 7 phones ago.
Like even though that's illegal and you have to protect your image, I would also like subconsciously like be very flattered.
I was just humiliated. That was the primary feeling that I felt for those 2 years. Every time
you should have said, "I want a free apartment."
I really should have.
That's fair.
It was a commercial building, so they would have had to
Orton HQ.
Rezone it. Yeah,
Orton HQ.
Orton headquarters. I like that. Yeah, missed opportunity on my part.
Yeah. Well, wait on the boob job is all to say.
Just make sure.
Yeah, that's a lot of, it's hard on your body. Yeah. So we want this to be the final one until 10 years. But I like our idea of waiting the 10 years. Like, and even though, you're uncomfortable for 8 years, like then you won't want to go back. You can be sure of that.
Yeah, thanks.
Next question. Hi, Jackson, Mary Orton. New mama here and looking for some advice. Obviously, this is years in the future if it ever even presents itself, but here's the situation. I have been deeply insecure about my nose since as early as 5th grade and would cry that I couldn't afford a nose job. I have since grown up, gotten married to my dream man, and still haven't gotten a nose job. I got the guy, and wedding pictures have come and gone, so getting a nose job now just isn't at the top of my list, even though if the opportunity presented itself, I would definitely get one. So 8 months ago, I gave birth to the most perfect angel girl, and immediately I knew she got my nose. Obviously, as a mom looking at my daughter, she's perfection. I hate that I even notice she has my most hated feature on myself, but on her, stunning. While I will always tell her that if she came to me crying one day that she hates her nose, I will understand that all too well. Should I be the mom that keeps reminding her that she's perfect the way she is, or allow her to get a nose job when she's old enough because I don't want her to look at herself in the mirror the way that I do to myself? Thank you for your time and advice. Love, a mama who wants her girl to have the world.
Oh, okay. So first of all, I will say there is no way you know that she has your nose.
Yeah.
Like the changes that my, you know, when Coco, for example, was born for the first year of her life, we were like, she's Rich's clone. I was like, I had nothing to do with this baby. And then now she's like my twin. She looks exactly like I did as a little girl. So they change so much. There's no way you are looking at an 8-month nose. I mean, you may feel like there are some similarities, yeah, but you never know.
You never know. But operating under the premise that she grows up and she has her nose.
I would say two things. Number one, try to make sure that you never say something disparaging about your nose in front of her. Because I have a friend who had this situation with her mom, and her mom would always talk about how she hated her ankles and was like, oh, I have thick ankles, I hate my ankles, blah, blah, blah. And so that like instill, and it's not like she was telling the daughter like your ankles are thick and hideous.
Yeah.
But she was saying disparaging things about her own, and the daughter has eyeballs and was like, oh, okay, so I guess I should be, you know, ashamed of mine. So try not to do that.
Yeah. Like a project at all, which is, it's right. Hard because it's such a big part of like how you think of yourself and like just how you are.
Yeah.
But if she does come to the conclusion that she doesn't like her nose, like, let it not be a seed that you planted in some way or other.
Exactly. And so I think it would be obvious to think, well, I'm never going to say anything to her about her nose, but also make sure you're not saying things about your nose in front of her. And then the second thing I would say is, if it does get to that point where she feels the way that you felt, tell her this story that you're telling us. Be like, I also hated it, and then I had you, and I loved it, and now it doesn't bother me, and now I feel like it's this special thing that we have, and whatever, and then let her make her decision. Yeah. That's what I would say.
It sounds like it still bothers her, though.
Her, yeah.
The mom.
That's true.
So maybe I would just, like, let her grow up, see what happens. I mean, a lot of girls do get their nose done kind of young, and, like, it's no big deal. Maybe do a mother-daughter nose job one day if you both come to the same conclusion. But, like, I would try and, like, zoom out on it and, like, even zoom out on her face. Like, put it to the, like, back of your mind as best as you can. Yeah. Like, it's not an issue for today. And even if someone has, like, a good nose, everyone has insecurities. Everyone has things that, like, they can't wait to fix when they're older, or things that, like, they think everybody's looking at them for, and it might not be their nose, but everybody has those things. Yes. So it's just a part of life to, like, be self-conscious about something. Yeah. You could fix it if you want to, or don't if you don't want to, but I would just, like, take the pressure off the situation a little bit. Like, even if she has your nose and it's a bad nose, like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be okay.
Yeah. And then let her make her decision. And even if even if this mom still hates her nose or you know, doesn't love it, she's clearly found some acceptance and comfort in the connection with the daughter who potentially has it. So I would tell her that when she's old enough to make her own decision.
And, like, how bad can a nose be? Like, it's not a great, but, like, there are some people who have, like, famously bad noses who, like, never change them. And, like, still, it's not like they're hugely successful. Could be her greatest
strength.
Could be her greatest strength. Hugely successful people. Yes.
She could become a, yeah.
I think it's just not as big of a deal as you're making it up to be, because you're already worried about something that's, like, so far down the line. It's, like, clear that it consumes your thoughts. But if you can, like, release yourself from it for the time being, because it's okay.
Yes.
It's just a nose. And they can be changed if need be.
Yes. And at the end of the day, like, you do not know
that she has
your nose. You really don't. I promise.
Yeah. Okay, third and final, dear toasters. So far, we've been aligned. Maybe this one will drive Mary and I apart. I love my husband, but sometimes his jokes just aren't funny. We've had a few family gatherings recently, and at each one, he makes the joke that I'm pregnant to his parents. He thinks it's funny, but his parents look so excited, only to be crushed a minute later when they find out it's a joke. I told him to stop and that it's not funny at all, but he insists that him and his family have that type of relationship where it's normal to joke around. They do not have any grandkids and always let us know where they're waiting, so this feels truly cruel. This isn't a funny joke, right? Am I a wet blanket or reasonably annoyed? Well, this is an easy one. Reasonably annoyed. Period.
Period.
I hate when people like make unfunny jokes and they're like, I just like to joke around. I'm like, well, where's the joke, bro? Like, I'm sorry. Telling someone that you're first of all, pregnancy is never something to be joked about. That's like what every like adult person understands at this point, especially when it's a sensitive subject. There aren't kids. Who knows what's going on? Like, it's just never something that you joke about, period. So for that reason, he's wrong on all counts. But like, say it was a joke about something else. Like, it's got to be funny to be a joke.
Right. And I have to say, I know so many people who have made these jokes, and I know your husband, like, there is no malintent. Like, this, he really does not appreciate. And usually, these jokes come from people who have never, you know, lost a baby or struggled to conceive or whatever. And so you just got to tell him that. You have to tell him, like, first of all, it's not funny. Like, you're talking about my body. Like, yeah. It's weird. It's just weird. And like, on its face makes me uncomfortable. And that should be enough for him, you know?
Right. Right.
To like not keep pushing the joke, but also.
And it's also mean to his parents who keep getting their hopes up. Like, that's not a joke to tell someone something untrue and like then say, oh, kidding. Like, okay.
Yeah. Like you're
and for whenever the day does come that you are pregnant, there it's the boy who cried wolf. It's like, okay, you and your jokes, goodbye. This needs to be like shut down.
Shut down. And maybe you just need to explain that to him. Like, I don't know if you guys have tried or not tried or where you're at or if you even plan to have children, but you know, maybe he needs to be told, like,
it's just not something that you joke
like
about.
This is just not something you joke about. But also, if you need a reason, like, what if we do have trouble?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or what if, you know, other people in your family have trouble? And it's just, it's a sensitive thing that's not a joke.
And he's probably like, you know, we joke like this in my family all the time. But clearly by his parents' reaction, they don't. And it's like, maybe he's been making these jokes and nobody knows how to tell him, like, we don't like your jokes.
Yeah.
And that's a wife's job to say, we don't like your jokes.
Yeah.
We're not going to take them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, got to put a lid on that one.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But at least that's case closed. We can agree there.
And I will say, like, I do think because I mean, we've all seen people make these jokes and it's often like innocently meant.
Yeah.
Like we're not saying he's a bad guy.
No, he just doesn't understand.
You just have to be clear to him that this is not funny.
Yeah. Not funny. Period. Yeah. Okay, well, that's Dear Toasters, and that's our show with Mary Orton.
Gosh, Jackie, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming here. I'm so excited that we got to host together, in studio together. The start of a beautiful friendship.
I got to meet Brew. It's just a perfect day,
isn't
honestly.
Brew? Look at him. He's sitting on the remote podcasting chair.
Just off camera, and he's just a gift.
He brought
a gift to us all.
He has his blanket up there. Yeah. I'm going to take a picture of him and I'll post it so you guys can see. Like,
he's sleeping soundly, perhaps because we didn't talk enough about sports.
Perhaps. Or we didn't talk enough about Brew.
True.
Which would lull anyone to sleep.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will be back tomorrow with a remote episode with Lauren Elizabeth. Very exciting. Mary Orton, where can everyone follow you and keep up with you? Where can they become Ortonites officially?
Oh my gosh. On Instagram, @MaryOrton. I also have the TikTok, Mary.Orton, but I seldom am posting there. So it's Instagram for me.
Instagram for you. Works for me. She's a reels queen, by the way. I feel like I didn't even hype that up enough. Like, content creator, really content that you need in your life that you didn't even realize that you needed. Just like tips for women, funny content, motherhood stuff, great style tips. You have fantastic style and original style, which we love.
Thank you.
We love that. We love originality. So check out Mary Orton. Aww. We love you very much and we'll see you tomorrow. Love ya.
Bye. Bye.